Evening, everyone. This is John Adolfi. Welcome to our HUD Home Boot Camp. It is January 17th, and it's 7 o'clock, and we're going to get started here tonight. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's HUD Homes. And I'm glad you're all here tonight. I know you could have been elsewhere, and you are here, and congratulations. And we have got a full house. And by the way, before we go any further, I just want to let you know, we're going to send around, I'm going to put this on the Steve, could you put that on the back table for me? That is the sign-up sheet for the February event. It is going to be February 21st at 7 p.m., third Tuesday of the month, and we're going to do it on finances, financing, how to purchase your HUD home, how to purchase your investment property, how to purchase a home you're going to live in. Okay, so we're going to be talking about that. Creative financing. So tonight we're going to talk about HUD Homes. All right, so what have we said that we haven't said already? Well, some of this, if you've heard these presentations before or if you've been to one of these before, some of this will be repeat. However, the important thing to remember is that when you show up at a live event, first off, the dynamic that takes place here is different than listening on an MP3. MP3 is good. Being at the live event is better because you guys will talk to each other afterwards and you'll pick things up and you will also begin to build relationships with each other in a way that perhaps wouldn't have happened if you're just sitting at home listening to MP3. So come on out to events. If for those of you that have been or haven't been, I invite you to come out. The other thing is that not everything that's being said here is said on the MP3. There'll be things that we'll talk about a little bit afterwards after we shut it down. Sometimes I'll have some really juicy behind-the-scenes stuff that I would prefer not to put out in public that is really cool to know. So let's get started with our presentation. HUD Homes. What's so great about HUD Homes? Now, please, understand, HUD homes are my favorite of all the real estate animals on the face of the planet. And before we get it done tonight, you're going to have at least a different appreciation or a renewed appreciation or a light bulb, an aha that's going to come on. First off, before we get started here, how many here in the room have actually purchased a HUD home? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people? Wow. Okay.
I almost did.
You did almost. That kind of counts. 6.5 then.
Sometimes
all right.
Wrong
with the title. Yeah, that can happen.
I know now. I just kept going with it.
That, yes, that's a good point.
How many did you say? You need to get 15.
I think 16. More? Just go ahead and pass them out. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So here's what here's what's happened with the HUD homes. Here's what happens with the HUD homes. In January of 2011, there were 235 HUD homes in New York State. January 2011. Now, what happened in 2008? A crisis took place. But it didn't catch up right away, did it? It crashed in 2006 is when it went. And I'll tell you what month it was, too, because I remember it was August. All of a sudden, the market just went, because it was going crazy. Multiple offers here in Syracuse, you know, in the surrounding area. Multiple offers. Prices of properties were getting a bid over the asking price. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I mean, to be a listing agent at that time or to have a house to sell, it was just like, it just sold. It was really cool. So the crash takes place. Then it gets even progressively worse. Then the economic crash in 2008. Then the foreclosures start to take place. But then all of a sudden there was this like stop. And all these houses started to accumulate. And next thing you know, you're driving around and you're like going, there's an abandoned house. There's an abandoned house. There's an abandoned house. We've never seen that before. It wasn't that there was a lot more people getting foreclosed on, and there may have been some, but they were holding them off so they weren't going through their books within a year to 2 years. It was now taking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years to go through a foreclosure. And all these properties started to accumulate. So what did that mean? That means that they were in the process of foreclosure, foreclosed, but they didn't do anything with them. Or they didn't because the foreclosure was taking a much longer period of time, which means that these abandoned houses were starting to, you know, stack up, so to speak. So, whoops. In 2012, there were 16 HUD homes in New York State. And that stayed like that for quite a while. Even though the stats look like it moves up a little bit here, in January 2013, there were 44 HUD homes. And then January 2015, there were 75. And I was doing a happy dance back in January 2015 because for having them go as long as they did with having anywhere between 13 to 30 HUD homes for like a couple of years, and this is what I love to do. I love to specialize in this. It was like, oh, 75 in New York State. And you got to understand, about 20 to 30% of all HUD homes in New York State focus the four counties in central New York. Onondaga, Oswego, Madison, Cayuga. And so, you know, there's a concentration here. Now, in May of 2015, it bumped up to 90. July 2015, 160 HUD homes, and I'm like going, woo, the dam is starting to break. February 2016, there were 228 HUD homes. We were almost at the original. Okay, now look what happens. April 15th, 2016, 320. June 20th, 2016, 397. And today, there was 436. It got almost as high as 500, like 480 or something. What does that all mean? What does that mean? There's a break in the dam. So there's 4 to 6 million houses that were in they called the shadow inventory. That was the name they gave them to all these properties that were in, can I use a big word, abeyance, sort of suspended animation between ownership, so to speak, in the process of foreclosure. And remember, more HUDs mean more opportunity. Here's the reason why. When there's more HUDs on the market, you have a better chance of getting a better deal. You just do. That's been my experience for all these years up until 2011. I sold one gentleman 19 HUD homes in 1 year in 2009. He's up on the Wall of Fame. He likes to kind of fly underneath the radar, so I won't mention his name. And he has a very sharp pencil. Very sharp pencil. And he bought 19 through the system that I work and how I know how HUD works. And he worked in conjunction with that, and he was able to get 19. It's just great. So there's more opportunity. Better prices. Okay, you're going to see when you go on the HUD Home site, and let me do this. We'll go there in a second. I'm going to give you the URL for the HUDHomeStore.com. That's going to be the website you're going to want to go to, www.HUDHomeStore.com. And by the way, before you go and take that website and Google it, don't. You'll wind up on one of those pay sites. Go to the address bar, exit out, you know, erase it, and put in there www.HUDHomeStore.com. Okay? When you do, you'll come to a blue and white and slightly gray website with the United States map. Okay, so follow this along. If you've got that, you're on the right site. If you see anything else, you're not on the right site. Then go to the state New York icon that's in the upper right-hand area and click on it, and that'll bring you to New York State. Put that in your favorites. Put that in your favorites. That's what I do. And do you know what I do every morning at 5:30 in the morning? Everything. I don't do yoga. What I do, something I enjoy even better. I go when I look at the HUD site every morning and I take notes. What change has taken place? You know. When you go on the HUD store and you'll see these properties, you'll see three different statuses. Lottery, which you rarely see anymore. Lottery means it's a piece of junk. It's uninsurable. It's got more than $5,000 or $10,000 worth of repair. And they started off as a lottery bid period. They're not doing that much anymore. Only once in a while. What that means is that nobody can touch it for 7 days. Owner-occupant, investor, only non-for-profit and government agencies can touch it for the first 7 days. So if you see lottery, just think, got to wait till it's over with. Once it's over with, and what I would do is I would recommend that you mark your calendar for those 7 days, and there is a clock on the HUD website. Check it the day after, and then it'll reset the clock, and then it'll go through the exclusive bid period, which is owner-occupant. Now, since they've made these changes, I don't know. The last I saw was 5 days, so it would be 7 days plus five. But typically, the whole owner-occupant bid period, which includes lottery or not, is 15 days. The first 15 days, investors are can't touch a HUD home. Verse 15, all right? It's called the exclusive bid period. All right? 15 days. Okay, I'm just going to skip through this because here's where you guys come in. Extended bid period. That's anyone who's an investor. Oh, by the way, HUD defines an owner-occupant during the exclusive bid period is somebody who hasn't bought a HUD home in 2 years, or is it three, and they're going to live in it as their primary residence for at least 1 year. Primary residence, which excludes secondary home or summer home. If you're going to buy a summer home, you got to buy it in the extended bid period along with the other investors. Okay? Now, what's that? Yes?
You can't make your primary home your summer home and make
your Here's the thing. The question was, can you make your home your secondary home and make this your primary home? Yeah, you could. And as long as you got the finances to be able to do that, you can do that. Thing is, though, is I like to try to keep people as honest as possible because there's always that you know, there's that little angel on one side, the other angel on the other, and the one angel saying, "Do the right thing," and then the other one saying, "What a deal! Let's go ahead and let's do something that's maybe a compromise." You know, there's always that temptation to do that. I do my very best to judge your intention. You know. And say, if it's Michael, you can't do it. You know you can't do it, Michael. It's like, but John, it's killing me. I got to do it. It's like, take a deep breath, relax. Let's wait to the investor bid period. And sometimes, what are you smiling about back there, Brian?
We've had this conversation.
Now, let me give you a little HUD secret, okay? You can bid on it if you put your son in it. And who did that just recently? Can I see a show of hands? Go ahead, Brian. And what Brian did was he was going to basically pay for it. And James, his son, was going to live in it. James was going to be on the deed. And Dad was either going to be on the deed or decided not to. It's either one. But you can do that. You can put a loved one. You can even get away, I guess, with somebody who's not related to you. But one person's got to live in there legitimately for 1 year as an owner-occupant. Now, the only time you want to concern yourself with having to go through those gymnastics is when there's a property that is such a screaming great deal right out of the box, which 90% of them aren't, but there's that occasional one that is. Case in point, how many of you saw 130-132-134 Irving Ave in Liverpool? A couple of you? That was a two-family duplex with a garage and another garage that was converted into a third apartment. So it was two parcels, three units, and a garage for $45,000 in Liverpool. And it sold today for $70,550. So to an owner-occupant. And this is, yeah, John.
How did it get up that high? They outbid each other?
Yeah. When you do, we'll get into this more, but you know what? The bidding system is all done in a sealed bid. It's not even an auction per se. An auction, typically, you can see what it is, and then you bid 1,000 over, and then the next person bids 1,000 over that, like on auction.com or hubzoo.com. This is not like that. It's a sealed bid. Nobody, I'm the listing agent for that. I don't even know what the bids are, except my own. I placed five for five different clients, and somebody else from another company got it. So yeah.
Sold?
That's a good question. John just asked the question, is it definitely sold? No. There's some hoops that they have to jump through. And this is when somebody can win in inches and seconds. My system is designed in such a way that once you raise your hand and say, I'm interested in a certain house, you're going to be getting play-by-play what's going on with this house until it is done, 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 done. Is there somebody else in this audience that I gave them that kind of customer service? Raise your hand, Jens. What was the situation with yours?
Mine came out for $30,000. It was owner-occupant. I had a bid. I bid over it. I was outbid. And for almost just over a month, I thought I had lost it until they fell through, and I was a secondary bidder and got it.
That's right.
And it was...
I don't remember. I think I remember calling you with the news.
I remember exactly where it was driving because I pulled over and I got out and I'm jumping around. It's crazy. Very exciting.
The point is that when I have when I create my HUD packet of everything I can find on a property, on the back of the sheet, like in this case, goes Jen's race, and I just put his name on there, and then any movement that this thing does, even after it sells, if it comes back on, I'm on the phone. Hey, guess what, Jen? It just went back on the market. And now he's the owner of a house that he really, really, really wanted. And it was gone. It was done. As far as I was concerned, it's sold. But I mean, not as far as I'm concerned, but, you know. Now, with the new HUD management company, there's another little disturbance in the force. And that's called getting your contract in on time. Has anybody experienced that where the 2 days, if they don't, they're going to threaten to cancel the deal? Were you involved with that at all, Jens?
That's what happened to other people. They could not get their paperwork.
Yeah. No, they've even tightened that down. What month was it that we sold you? August. That's about when they started tightening it up.
That's probably the only reason I got it.
HUD is really, really tight on their parameters of getting the paperwork in, and it has to be right. And if it's not right, they're really tight on giving you just a day to get it in correct. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, they'll cancel the deal just like that.
You're talking the original paperwork, like for the real estate or like the lawyer work afterwards?
Thanks, Sean. What I'm talking about is the contract and the addendums, right. The deposit, the proof of funds or your pre-approval letter. All those things have to be done and overnighted with wet signatures from everybody. No electronic signatures, no faxes. Within 48 hours, it has to be out the door. Now, the way HUD used to do it prior to May is they give you 5 days. And just say it's got to be in 2 days. Everybody was happy. Life was good. And all of a sudden they're doing this. It's driving people nuts. Other realtors fail. We are not 100% without, you know, I mean, it happens once in a great while. But we're aware of it. We try to prep you. And we try to get everything running as fast as possible so that you guys aren't like one of these casualties. Because what we do is we take advantage, if you might want to say that, of the casualties of war in the other real estate camps where they're not used to running at this pace. They're not used to, you know, or they catch them unawares. They get the email that they got the bid, but then they wait a day to start getting everything going. And then all of a sudden they're like, what?
With the owner-occupied stipulation.
Yes.
Is that just if you're financing it to a bank, or what if you pay cash? How are they going to know?
I won't. The question is owner-occupied bid period. If you pay cash, how will they know? It's a great question. They won't. They won't know. But again, I don't let anybody through. You know? So if you guys want to find somebody who's dishonest in this regard, then he'll be dishonest or she'll be dishonest in other regards. So you don't want to deal with somebody like that. But no, it's a good question. I respect that question. Just that they don't know. You know, but you know, I'll get guys calling from New York City. Well, you know, maybe I do want to live there. No, you don't. Okay. So 90% of the time, the properties that come out of the market are overpriced. That's a good thing because it gets over that 15-day bid period for the owner-occupants and goes right into the lap of the investors. But it's still not a good deal. You got to wait. Well, let's move on here, and I'll show you how you do that. Okay, once it goes through that 15-day bid period, and then investors can bid on the 16th day, from that point forward, it's daily bid periods. Daily. Means Monday ends at midnight and it opens on Tuesday. No offers? Great. Ends on Tuesday midnight, Wednesday opening. Oh, no offers? It continues doing that until it sells. It never goes back to a 10, 15-day bid period. When it goes down in price, guess what? One-day bid periods. We'll get to that in a second. It gets pretty exciting with this system. Over the weekend and on holidays, it counts as 3 days. So if you put a bid in on Friday versus Monday, Memorial Day, it all counts the same, and it's open up on Tuesday. Okay? So the weekend or weekend holiday, it's all one big day. Okay? Bidding strategies. You can bid 7% on a new property and get it if nobody else bids a dollar over. You can lose by a dollar, you know. You can lose by one penny. You can. Properties that have been on the market for a while, 10%. Now, this is nothing that's stated. This is, I have to find this out by swinging the bat for people and then do my calculations on what they're willing to do. That's the best I'm able to come up with since they started in October. Okay? And did I ever see them do more than 10% on property that's stale and old? Yeah, I have. I've seen them do 15 and 20%. But this is the old stale property that's been... I mean, I've got stuff from December of 2015 still kicking around. You know? They keep all bids in their system. They say... If you say, I'm going to be a backup offer, and I check the box every time, so you have something you have to think about. They will, like, let's say you get the bid, and you got the backup offer, and you know, you put the second best bid in. They can, if the first fails, come to you and ask if you want to do it. They haven't been doing it, but they can. This new regime, I got to... Two things have had to happen with this new regime. They're called BLB, by the way. Okay? And BLB has to get their sea legs going. They're still inundated in this switchover, even after 4 or 5 months. So I'll give them maybe the first half of the new year, and maybe then they'll be kind of like smooth sailing. Once they do, I'll be able to see them and what they're doing a little bit more clearly. So even these HUD boot camps will actually evolve, so to speak, because I'll have more information on what they're doing and how to interface with their system in such a way that's going to put money in your pockets or save you money when you're buying your home. HUD keeps all bids in their system. And the way they used to do it, and I hope that they still do, is they respect those bids, and they actually, after 2-3 months, say, Jens, you put an offer in on something, and it's $30,000 on a $50,000 property. After it goes down a couple of times, that they'll say, hey, do you still want it? Or they'll just all of a sudden, instead of, let's say it's at $35,000, and they're getting ready to lower it to $31,500, they just take your offer without even lowering it. Huh. I've seen them. They've done that. I've done that over and over. That's one of the HUD secrets I used to use, but I don't know if they're going to do that. I've got to find out. Don't know. But that's okay. I just learn and I adapt. So what I do in your case is that the day they bring it down to $31,500, obviously they didn't take your $30,000 offer that we put in 2 months ago. Jen, it's down to $31,500. Do you want to go ahead and put a $30,000 offer in? Yeah, I do. Boom. Next day it's yours. Now, as a way of comparison, how many of you have ever heard of HomePath? Fannie Mae HomePath? It's just a different flavor of government-owned property. Let me tell you what it's like to put in an offer for Fannie Mae. They've got a lot of houses. They're just like the HUD homes in many respects, okay? Inventory looks about the same. So in order for me to put an offer in for you, like Sean, you called up, John, put the offer in on blah, 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 right? So within 3 minutes, his offer's in. Done. I write, usually email back, done, you know? And that's all it takes to put in a HUD offer. Name, address, social security number, how much you want to put it in for, and then I put it in. Electronically, I don't have to collect any money. I don't have to have you sign anything. That's unheard of. 3 minutes later, it's in. Next day, we find out, typically. Okay, with a home path, Sean, I got to have you sign the 7-page contract, 13-page addendum. I'm going to need $1,000, even though it's just a copy of your check, and I need your proof of funds. Then once I get all those things, then I got to have put them, upload them into one package into on the website, and then I get electronically input the offer. That's just to put the bid in. And now, when do they open it? Well, let's say they open it the next day, or they could. 1 day goes by. 2 days goes by. 3, 4. I've seen it up to 2 weeks. But let's say it's 3 days. Now, all of a sudden, Michael puts in an offer. Now you got this email. I get this email. Sean, highest and best by 5 o'clock Tuesday. Great. Now I got to second guess myself. I've got to up my offer or not, and then I'm still going to lose. And that's what happens. That's what happens. You know the guy I sold 19 HUD homes to? He put seven offers in 2 weeks. And he put three in for either bank-owned, home path, whatever. And then the four... He lost the three because of highest and best and all the blah, 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 and got the four HUDs. Boom, boom. Their system is awesome. Absolutely the best. You'll receive future counteroffers. BLB is not doing that right now as much. I've only gotten like 3 counteroffers in like 4 months. What's a counteroffer? Counteroffer is what they're willing to accept They'll spit it out. It's usually 7 or 10% under the asking price. Although I've seen some counteroffers that were even more than that. But not with the new regime. I've seen them in the past with others. So you can get a counteroffer. Let me show you. Let me tell you how it was. Okay, and I'd like to see. I hope it's again. So let's say, Jens, you put that $30,000 offer on that $50,000 house. Okay. They counteroffer you at 45. So you wait. And then they lower it to 45 and they counteroffer you without you even asking or putting a bid in, another bid in. They counteroffer you 41.5. No thanks. Then they lower it to 41.5 and they counteroffer you at 37. Maybe now you want it. Maybe you don't. But it's cool. Because all you got to do is say yes, and as long as nobody bids a dollar over during that 24-hour period, it's yours. And that's just having that in there like that. What if they also want to do something stupid and they go, let's say it's at 40, you put it in for 30, and they counteroffer you at 32, 20% under. I've seen them do it. Or they just take your offer when it was at 40. I've seen them do that too. Not very often, but I've seen them do it. This is where you win by inches and seconds. Anybody see the Dallas game? Did somebody win by inches and seconds? Mm-hmm. Notice I didn't say the Green Bay game. Sorry, guys. America's team, okay? All right. Here's an example. 102 Jarrett Drive in Syracuse. 13219 zip code. It's a three-bedroom ranch. Original sale, original asking price, $89,900. All fixed up, that would have been a halfway decent price for it. It would have been a good price for it. All fixed up. This is where the appraisers come in and they kind of mess things up. Mm-hmm. I wish this house should have been put on the market no more than 75. That would have been a good, more reasonable starting price. It sold, somebody bought it 10% under. A few months later, went back on the market, fell through. In January 17th. February 20th, they lowered it 10% from 89,000 down to 80,100. Now look how much time's elapsed. August, September, October, November, December, January, February. 6 months. Lowest bid was that they would accept, because I got a counteroffer because of a previous bid that I put in for somebody, $72,430. Okay? And 1 month later, on March 15th, 2015, the property sold for $50,000. They went from 80 to 50. Yeah. But it had been 7 months. Now, theoretically...
To one of your people?
No. No, I wasn't the listing agent or the selling agent on that one. But I was so amazed. I was kind of like... I mean, my jaw does still drop once in a while. But then I'll just go, just remember, this is HUD. Anything can happen. That's 37% under the current asking price. Remember, we're talking about 10%? 37.5%. And 44% under the original asking price. That's pretty wild. It was a realtor that bought it. He just put an offer in at the right place, at the right time, at the right amount, and HUD just went, let's take it.
Can you tell by reasoning on, you know, it's been 6 or 7 months and then it goes back on the market? Because usually you just see it's on the market.
You know what's... Yeah.
But you don't know why, what happened.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's like the question was continuity, when it came on the market originally, came off, why did it come off, why did it go back on? Only the listing agent's going to be able to give you any information. And I don't know all the reasons why they come back on. I'm so busy promoting and facilitating that I don't even get every single reason why every single property comes back on the market. To me, just that it is important. It's like, I don't mean any disrespect to your question or anybody else, but it's like almost like given the amount of time that I have and everything, it's almost like, just give me the inventory back. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sell it to somebody who's going to be able to do it and maybe even get a better deal. So it's like I get excited when they come back. And if I do know, I'll be happy to share it. I mean, what I find out about these things. Okay, so how do you interface with this incredible system called HUD as far as their bidding system is concerned? How do you interface? So here's the thing. You got the website, you got their awesome system, and then you've got you, and let's say you've got a pocket full of cash, okay, which we'll talk about next month, how to get a pocket full of cash if you don't have it. How do you go from awesome system to acquiring a HUD home, you, with the cash in your pocket? That's where I come in. I'm the interface between the two. And I, most of you know about the videos that we create. That's in part what we do. We can't, you know, up until a year and a half ago, I was able to get to every single HUD home. Every single one of them. Since 2009, I was able to get to almost every single one. But now it's been difficult, so I'm still, you know, playing catch up. But watch the videos. 6 minutes long, you get to see whether or not, you know, what the pictures won't show you. And then you'll know whether or not it's something worth pursuing. That's step number one, which means open up every single one. Just take a look and see, you know. I mean, nothing more, you'll get amused. Because I usually say something funny or weird or whatever. And in the videos, you know, I like to just tell it like it is, what I see, as you probably already know. And that's, so watch the videos. If it's a house, let's go back to your $50,000 property. If you watch the video, this is hypothetical though, but this actually can happen. You watch the video and you go, I like the house, but it's 50 grand, that's too much. Don't erase it from your mind because there could be an opportunity that you could pick it up for 30. If it came out for 30, how many, do you think you'd have even a chance of getting it at 30? Absolutely not. It'd be a bum's rush and somebody would buy it for $35,000, $34,000 or whatever. They'd overbid. But you know, you're almost sneaking in a way, but not being in a deceptive way. You're just kind of like walking in through the back door. Everybody's kind of gone. And you just grab the prize and you walk out. It's yours. Watch the videos. That's step one. Go see the properties. I'll make it as easy as possible for you to go see them. Go take a look at the properties. You know another thing that you can do? And this also had something to do with your question, even though you may not have asked it this, but it inspired my thought, thinking, and that is that how do you know what the original asking price is? Because that's important to know, and when it first came out. Unfortunately, when they lower the price, it resets the clock. You see the new price as if it's the original price, and the date is no longer the original date, it's the date and when they lowered the price. So do you know what I do? When I do every first 5:30 in the morning, I'm looking for a new property that came out so that I can make copies of it and staple it and put it into my file folder. I have got five counties, because we were in Oneida County for a while. We're not any longer. I only got a few listings left in Oneida County. But we're in Oneida County, and I've got a stack of HUD sheets this tall. Not HUD sheets that have sold, but HUD sheets that are for sale or coming up for sale. That thick. And every one of them's got stuff written on the back, written on the front, all the information I can find on the internet about it, multiple listing, everything and anything I can get my hands on. And so when you go see it, Jens, I'll use you as an example. So you go, wait a minute, I remember at John's seminar, he said, don't prejudge the property because it's too much money. I love that house. I love that area. I want to go see it. John? Yes, Jens. I want to go see it. Okay, Jens. And then we set an appointment, get him inside, and you go, John, love the house. Hate the price. I got to get it for 30. That's what we'll work towards. Flip over the back of the sheet. Jens wants it for $30,000. Flip the sheet over, I put it back in my file folder, and I forget about it for now. As soon as the property goes down in price, hey, Jens, it's down to 41. Anything you want to do differently? No, John, 30. Okay, great. 37 about the best you can do. Let's wait one more price drop. Maybe we'll go to 33 or 34. Maybe not. Okay, great. And then Jens never hears from me again, which means that it's sold. Because I won't call you if it's sold because it's just so many phone calls I got to make. But if you call me, I'll let you know that it's gone. You know, but it's not really gone now, is it? Not really. Not until it's closed. Go see the properties. Let me just share this one thing from you. If you are all busy and have other jobs, and not doing this full time, then HUDs are the number one way of spending your time the most wisely. Because of this system, because of the second chances and third chances, every house you look at, even if it's overpriced, is an investment in time and getting the right deal at the right price. Is there anybody in the back that's actually done this system over and over and over and over again and ultimately successfully a few times? Go ahead.
Yes.
I know, you know, you don't want to give out too many HUD secrets, right?
No, I'm fine with it. You can give more. Closed on one today?
That's right. You did. What was it about?
Hope.
Hope Place. Anybody remember Hope Place? No?
Yeah.
It's kind of... Who did?
I remember it.
Do you?
Is that in Baldwin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just before you get to Radisson, on the right-hand side, if you're going west on 31. Right up in that little development, if you might want to call it that, right?
Yeah.
If you mind me asking what you paid for it?
Yeah, 28. Started at 46.
There you go. There you go. Gentleman by the name of Dwayne Shepherd, and folks of you, those of you at home are, that don't know what I have in my hands, this is one of our people that are up on the Wall of Fame. It's a signed, pictured testimonial that we put up. We've got about 160 of them now. We started in 2011. And anybody who's a satisfied customer has an opportunity to be able to get up on the Wall of Fame. And Dwayne is one that just closed recently. And he said here, quick response time, honest and easy to deal with, nice guy. Dwayne Shepherd. Dwayne, thank you. And Dwayne bought a house on County Route 3 right outside of Fulton. And he bought this house. He tore it apart, and he's about to go under contract or close on it. I can't remember which. And he just bought 944 Cayuga Street in Hannibal. I don't know if you remember that one. That's been sitting around for a long time. And for those of you who are looking to buy a HUD home for yourself to live in, Rich Zimmerman. Rich Zimmerman and his parents have come to many of these investment meetings. And Rich really took his time. All he concentrated was HUD homes. Put several bids in, didn't get them, got one, then decided, I don't think it was as good a deal as it should have been. And he backed out of one, which is fine. Right in the very beginning, you can back out of them without anybody getting hurt. And then he finally put the ultimate. This is, let me see, I can't remember which one this was. I know, Sean, I know you know which one this is.
No, seriously.
Yeah, that's the north. What's that?
Herman Drive.
Yeah, what did it start at? Like 80, 90?
Too much.
90, and he bought it for like 55. Yeah. And 109 Herman Drive. You can see the video online. Again, that was at, I think, 85 or 90 or something, and he bought it for 55. He really took his time, and he just hit HUD at the right time when they were trying to liquidate some inventory, so he got even a deeper discount than he normally could. Inches and seconds, okay? So, go see the properties. What's the next step after you go see the properties? Oh, again, about wasting your time. What's wasting your time? Let me tell you what wasting your time is. Wasting your time is running out and saying, John, I want to look at these five new bank foreclosures that just came out for $20,000 a piece. Guarantee you're going to walk in and you're going to go, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Or it's in a neighborhood, you're just going to go, I can't believe this thing. I don't want to be, no, there's shootings and everything's and everything going on. Or they got 10 offers already.
Or they don't even, they wouldn't even take the $20,000 to begin with. They list it for 20, but they won't even take 20.
Right. And there's multiple offers, highest and best. HUDs doesn't work that way. Watch them overprice them and then work your way down with them. That's how you do it. So one of my point is that this is the best use of your time. Every property you go see has got the opportunity, not only getting it for your price, but also multiple times of people failing and coming back on. It's just a great use of your time. So make a sheet, print out the sheet in your area. What you do is you go into HUD, find the New York State. Then if you want to drill down a little bit more, Sean, maybe you don't want to look at anything in Oswego County, so you just look at everything in Onondaga County, which there are somewhere between, 30 to 40 at any given time. Just look at them every single day. See a new one, you get on the phone, John, what's this one all about? That's what Sean does. What's this one all about? I want to go see this one. And then he says, I don't want it for that price. I want it for this price. And then we work towards that. John, you picked one up in Mattydale.
Two in Mattydale.
Yeah.
One was a really good deal. $35,000.
How much did you pay for it?
$35,000 for Maddie.
Maddie Ave?
that's a good one.
That's when they were doing their liquidation sale.
Yeah, it
was. What was that originally?
79 or something.
79, and you bought it for 35. It was in pretty good shape?
Yeah, it took the least amount of all of them.
And what are you doing with it right now?
Rent.
How much?
900. I could get more, but it was.
So you get 900 to 1,000 bucks. Sean, are you renting out another one yet?
They're all rented, yeah.
Are you getting 1,000 for one of them?
Yeah, another one.
What's it like to get 1,000 bucks every month?
It's terrible.
It's terrible, huh? Now, the first time I had somebody who bought a house, and it was Seneca Knowles, and he put way too much money into it. So he was like going, maybe I don't want to sell this. Well, it's like, after you put that kind of money, do you really want to rent it out? Well, he did. He got great people. He calls me up, or I called him up or whatever, and he goes, John, I get $1,000 a month. I love this. So he was happy, even though he had his money tied up into it. He loved getting $1,000. Call me and let me know where there's an interest. If you go see a house, I may or may not put your name on the back of the sheet. You got to call me and just, you know, say, I'm interested. Let's follow this through. So just make sure that you're on the back of my sheet by just letting me know there's an interest. Then place lower offers on it. Jen, you can put a $30,000 offer on that hypothetical $50,000 property anytime. You don't even have to wait. You can do it right now. Get into their system and just kind of be there. Just in case those inches and seconds moments take place before we anticipate it. You know? And then wait. You wait. You wait till the season. How often does HUD lower their property prices? Every 30 to 40 days. How much? 10%. Okay? And then score. Now, wait a minute. New bidding secret. I'm not even sure I know this one. HUD does not even know we know this. Take any HUD property, like for instance, Jarrett Drive. That's the original list price. By the way, if you want to do this technique, you may have to call me and say, what's the original list price? Because I gave somebody this formula and he went and did it on properties that were priced at the current price. And it's like, no. That's gone through two price reductions. This system doesn't work perfectly on that. You got to find out what the original asking price is. So I got a super secret formula. All right? Now, listen, there are guys that are trying to sell HUD books that try to tell you or you hear things. 87%, John. 87%. Somebody did that just the other day. Heard 87%. If that was ever a percentage, it's not any longer. It changes. Right now, it's 93%. Where are you getting your... You got to get in there and actually swing. You got to get somebody who's not theorizing or working off of old information. You got to get somebody in there that actually puts tens and scores of offers in every month in order to find out what their parameters are. Because they won't tell you, even as a listing agent. This is the number that you place your bid for. For example, take $89,000 and multiply it by 58%. So, if you don't use any other type of calculation other than just doing a straight 58% across the board, because here's the funny thing, whether it be 87%, 58%, or whatever it is, okay, it's a personalization for each property. Jen's, your property was different than Sean's. The dynamic, the timing, everything was different. Okay? It's not the same for everybody, and each property is different. So you can talk about these formulas all day long, but unless you've got somebody with experience in between interfacing and taking each of these properties and knowing them intimately well and anticipate what HUD might or might not do and then strike when the iron's hot, the formulas are okay, but they're not a substitute for that. So let's go ahead and test on Jarrett Drive the 58% rule. 89,000 times 58% equals 51,620. And what did it sell for? 50,000. All right, here's something I stumbled on. Actually, I think somebody told me about this website. It's on the internet. It's really cool. It contains HUD statistics that you're not going to believe. Now, these statistics are not for HUD homes that are currently for sale. These are HUD homes that have currently sold. And, sold, I don't know how far back they go. I've never really tested it. But it's called HUDHomeValue.com. And you want to get on there, especially those who love to look at the numbers. Here's the Jarrett Drive on HUD Home Value. Now, you see this 47 up here? That's not what it sold for. That's the net to HUD. After the commission came out, that's what they got. So that's where the 47 came from. Description of the property, when it sold, all the different time periods. Hold on, let me show you the time. Property listing history. Look at that. When it went on, when it went through its price reduction, on and off, percentage of original price that it sold for. And again, that's net to HUD. That 47,000 is net to HUD. If you want to find out what the gross is, you multiply that number by 94% because it's a 6% commission. You divide the net by 94% and you will get what it actually sold for. So 47,000 divided by 94% equals 50,000. Okay. So there you go. And then they listen to this. Bid recommendation length. The estimated best bid is $41,312 or $15. Take this stuff with a grain of salt. Don't get too. If you do play with this, and you know, I don't know how they give you an estimated bid. Maybe I'm. You know, I have not spent a lot of time with this, so maybe there's a little bit more information on estimated bids on current properties. I didn't see any on there because I don't know why they would give you an estimated best bid for something that's sold. You know, unless they've had it somewhere, you know, previous to this. Okay, so there you have it. And there's my contact information. For those of you listening to this, you can contact me, John Adolfi, at 695-6434, area code 315, again, 695-6434. Our website address is www.adolfi.com. Now, I want to spend just a few moments. What time we got? How are we doing?
7:48.
Oh, we got a few minutes then. Okay. So, over the next few minutes, I want to talk about the $100 down program. Okay? And you've got each got a report on it. You can read that, you know, to supplement whatever that I didn't share with this evening. The $100 down program is nothing new. It's old, actually. But the thing is, though, is that they just brought it back. $100 down program is not that you get to buy it for $100 or $100 total closing costs. It's for owner occupants only. Okay? So if you or someone out there listening to this wants to buy a HUD home and you're going to live in it, you can do the $100 down program if you go FHA financing. Here's what it means. I'll give you an example. With a $100,000 house, your down payment is going to be 3.5% or $3,500. Your closing costs, I'm going to estimate them, taxes, insurance, attorney, legal fees, legal docs, all that, it's going to come to right around 9. Okay? So 3,500 and 9 is what? 12,500. There's your closing cost for a $100,000 house with, say, $5,000 in taxes. Okay, $4,500, $5,000 in taxes. What does the $100 down program do? It reduces that $3,500 portion of your $12,500 total down to $100. So you're not saving any money, just having less to bring out of pocket. So instead of $12,500, you have to bring $9,100 to closing. All right. Now, in next month, we're going to talk more about how you can even how to bring as little money as possible to the closing. We're going to talk about HUDs primarily, but we'll talk about other properties as well, and we'll talk about financing for you investors too. What are the options for you guys and gals? All right. That's basically the $100 down. There's only one bank right now that will do the $100 down program. Only one. Only because I haven't approached the others, and eventually they'll hear about it, and people will be asking them about it, and they may be jumping on board a little later on. But Common Fund Mortgage. Common Fund Mortgage. And you may want to call John Verkmeyer if anyone's listening to this. Great guy. They have agreed, as far as I know, to do the $100 down program. 422-2325, area code 315-422-2325, and ask for John Berkmeyer. Okay.
And the 30 days then, if you have financing, obviously? Do they get it done in 30 days? The HUD closings?
That's a good question. The question is that can they get it done in 30 days? And the answer is it's 45 days for owner-occupant with non-cash if they're going to go financing. And by the way, I know you haven't asked this question, but it's a 30-day closing for investors. Because typically you have cash, they figure all you got to do is do the legal docs, they want to close in 30 days. All right. And if they don't close in 30 days, then you owe HUD $10 a day, $150 for a 15-day extension, which isn't that expensive. There are some out there that charge you $300 for the first day and $100 every day after that. That's stupid. Really is stupid. I don't like that. But that's cheap in comparison. Any questions? Any questions? We're going to wind down here this evening. All right. You just hold right there. I want to thank everyone for listening. We're going to go ahead and shut down. We're going to open it up for any more questions and that they may be asking. So I want you to, again, I want to thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, give our office a call. Happy to assist. And have a very good night. Thank you. All I got to do is keep this.